Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 26th of October, 2024, and the title of today's show is Harris Wolff's Campaign in Trouble, Labour at War with Patriots and Trump, and possibly other things as well, depending upon how much time I have left after all of that. So here we are, 10 days till the presidential election on November 5th. And it's interesting because in the UK, it's Guy Fawkes Night. Remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. And of course, Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the House of Parliament. So perhaps the US is going to blow up the Democrat Party. That would be a sight to see. Of course, I don't mean physically, I mean in terms of total destruction by the MAGA supporters, because here we are with early voting happening, and reports are that for the first time, the Republicans are leading in early voting, which is something typically that the Democrats have done. So that's a really good sign. And again, I'm seeing so many posts on X of ex-Democrats leaving the Democrat Party and deciding for the first time that they're going to vote for Trump. So it's fantastic news. But let's look at what absolute disasters are happening in the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz campaign. So they're descending to using smears again against Trump. But that only indicates the level of desperation there is. You know, if that's all they have, then they don't stand a chance in November. So I'm going to go hopefully in chronological order. And this first report was actually from last Saturday, but it was about Saturday night's rally with Kamala Harris. So it came out after my show. And the title is Kamala is Collapsing. A visibly exhausted Kamala Harris was on stage in Detroit for only 6 minutes 36 seconds, and Lizzo never performed. Kamala Harris and rapper Lizzo held a campaign rally in Detroit, Michigan on Saturday. Harris needed a celebrity rapper to drum up support, but Lizzo never performed. A visibly exhausted Kamala Harris was on stage in Detroit for only 6 minutes and 36 seconds. In contrast, President Trump was on stage in Detroit Saturday night for an hour and 27 minutes. And of course, Kamala Harris was accusing Trump of being exhausted. Well, it certainly backfired on her. Gateway Pundit on the 24th reported, Trouble in Paradise. Kamala Harris gets destroyed by CNN panel over catastrophic town hall, while triggered libs unleash on entitled white male host Anderson Cooper. The reviews for Kamala Harris's performance during last night's town hall, that was Wednesday, are coming in, and they are not pretty. Meanwhile, liberal fans of the flailing presidential candidates are turning their ire on one of their own for being too mean to Harris. As the Gateway Pundit reported, Harris participated in a CNN town hall for undecided voters on Wednesday night. She fell apart completely under surprisingly tough questions from liberal host Anderson Cooper. In one particularly embarrassing moment, Harris was reduced to a blubbering mess when pressed on the subject of the border crisis and the idea of a border wall. Despite Harris's efforts to deflect and blame Trump, Cooper pressed her on the issue, and here's what happened. And this is in an ex-post from Trump War Room. Cooper, under Donald Trump, you criticised the wall more than 50 times. You called it stupid, useless, and a medieval vanity project. Is a border wall stupid? Kamala, lies about President Trump's record and calls for mass amnesty for over 20 million illegal aliens. She also had no answer for why she had not fulfilled any of her proposed policies, despite being in office for almost 4 years. Again, Trump War Room posts, CNN, you've been in the White House for 4 years. Why haven't you done any of this already? Kamala, I'm pointing out things that need to be done, that haven't been done, that need to be done. The reviews from the CNN panel were absolutely brutal. Conservative contributor Scott Jennings roasted Harris as a true double threat of cluelessness and ended his observation with a savage line. She's like a true double threat, conservative contributor Scott Jennings observed. She's terrible on her feet when she gets unexpected questions, and simultaneously she can't even answer the unexpected questions. If she were an animal, she'd be a duck-billed platitude, he added. I love that. It's great. David Axelrod, the chief strategist on Barack Obama's presidential campaigns, also harshly reviewed Harris's performance, though his language was less colourful than Jennings's. He was particularly critical of the Democratic presidential nominee's incoherent word salads. The thing that would concern me is when she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city, Axelrod said. And she did that on a couple of answers, Axelrod continued. One was on Israel. Anderson asked a direct question, would you be stronger on Israel than Trump? And there was a 7-minute answer, but none of that related to the question he was asking. Axelrod then noted Harris made a critical error when Cooper asked her about immigration. She would acknowledge no concerns about any of the administration's policies, and that's a mistake, he said. Sometimes you have to concede things, and she didn't concede much. Former Obama advisor Van Jones echoed Axelrod's statements on Harris's constant word salads and said there was no reason for her to dodge certain questions. I think that the word salad stuff gets on my nerves, Jones stated. I think that some of the evasions are not necessary. Harris's clueless fans, however, saw no issues with her performance and turned their ire toward Cooper. They accused him of sexism and invoking his white male privilege for daring to hold Harris accountable for her evasions and lies. I won't insult you by reading out these comments because it's just not worth the time, to be frank. Gateway Pundit again reports CNN's Dana Bash reveals what insiders are saying after Kamala Harris's dumpster fire town hall. This was also published on Thursday. And remember, it was Dana Bash who was one of the moderators on the debate between Trump and Biden. And of course, they were called out for repeatedly fact-checking, erroneously, Trump's remarks. So she's hardly a Trump fan and definitely a rabid Democrat. So for her to come out and criticise Harris is quite a turnaround. The article reads, Kamala Harris on Wednesday night participated in a CNN town hall with undecided voters. She completely bombed. Kamala Harris did so bad that even CNN admitted she didn't close the deal with voters. CNN moderator Anderson Cooper pointed out to Harris that there are voters out there who say that day one for her started almost 4 years ago. Kamala Harris keeps promising to secure the border and bring down the price of groceries. Anderson Cooper reminded Harris that she has been in office for nearly 4 years. Kamala Harris was asked if she can point to any mistakes she has learned from. She totally stumbled. I have worked very hard to make sure that I'm well versed on issues, Harris said. Kamala Harris said one of her weaknesses is that she has a team of very smart people around me who bring to my decision-making process different perspectives. Huh? Kamala Harris did the "my biggest flaw is that I care too much" line on Wednesday night. Laughable. CNN's Dana Bash said she spoke to some insiders and they aren't impressed by Kamala Harris. People I'm talking to say if Kamala's goal was to close the deal tonight, they're not sure she did that, Dana Bash said. And CNN isn't the only left-wing media platform that's abandoning Kamala. Far-left Los Angeles Times abandons Kamala Harris. California's biggest newspaper refuses to endorse their home state candidate despite backing Obama, Clinton and Biden. Far-left Los Angeles Times, California's largest newspaper, has turned its back on Kamala Harris, refusing to endorse her in the upcoming 2024 presidential election. This stunning break from tradition marks a sharp shift for the paper, which has consistently endorsed Democrat candidates, including Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden. Their refusal to back their home state candidate speaks volumes about Harris's diminishing support, even with liberal strongholds. And they're not the only one. Washington Post has just announced that they aren't endorsing a presidential candidate this time, which has caused a bit of a stir amongst the Democrats. They're trying to be apolitical, is what the explanation was. Kamala Harris did another town hall earlier in the week. This was published on the 22nd by Resist the Mainstream. So it doesn't actually give the date of this event. But the title is Maria Shriver admits that Kamala's town hall questions were predetermined. Maria Shriver stirred up social media after a video surfaced of her response to a woman asking to pose a question to Vice President Kamala Harris at a town hall event in Michigan on Monday. Sorry, they did mention it. The woman asked the former California First Lady and journalist if the audience could ask Harris questions before she and former Representative Liz Cheney, Republican Wyoming, or ex Republican Wyoming, it should be, took the stage. "You're not, unfortunately. We have some predetermined questions," Shriver replied, according to the Daily Mail. "And hopefully I'll be able to ask some of the questions that might be in your head. I hope so." And James Woods on X responded, "Are we allowed to ask questions of candidate Kamala Harris?" And then plays the video where Shriver says, "No, they're predetermined." Shriver's response caused a social media firestorm, with many ex-users criticizing the event, calling it fake and staged. Town halls are usually known for being unscripted and an opportunity for voters to get personal with the candidates. "This desire to control the narrative is officially surreal," wrote journalist Trish Regan. "The facade of an honest town hall was destroyed when self-described journalist Maria Shriver told the audience spontaneous questions were not allowed for Kamala Harris," wrote radio host Bo Snerdley. "The questions predetermined, one must assume, by the campaign staff. Frightened of real people asking real questions, and she wants to be the president? Imagine her talking to Xi or Putin when she can't talk to Americans without a predetermination. Shyster," one ex-user wrote. "Talk about a fraud," another user wrote. "I thought a town hall was a place for citizens to ask their questions. This town hall was a carefully scripted event because Kamala is a coward that needs the answers beforehand." During the event, Harris took only 3 questions from audience members, all of whom read their questions from their phones. The questions were about gun violence, Ukraine, and what Harris would say to traditionally conservative conservative members of the community. This was not the first time Harris had been criticised for hosting scripted events. Earlier this month, Harris was blasted on social media when it was discovered that she had been reading from a teleprompter during her unscripted town hall for undecided Latino voters. At the same event, an audience member was caught mouthing Harris's response to a question word for word. This is crazy. It wasn't any better at her Thursday rally in Georgia. And again, resist the mainstream reports, and this was reported yesterday. Social media goes wild as Kamala faces mockery over dozens of supporters walking out mid-speech. Vice President Kamala Harris was mocked on social media Thursday night as users noticed dozens of her supporters leaving her Georgia rally in the middle of her speech. The rally, which was her biggest to date with 23,000 in attendance, according to the Harris campaign, had several A-list celebrities and musicians present, including Samuel L. Jackson, Tyler Perry, and Bruce Springsteen, who performed. And George on X posts, "No way. People started leaving Kamala Harris rally while she was still speaking. They only came for Obama and the other celebrities. Not a single soul cares about this woman enough to listen to her, and no amount of celebrities will make them care." Before Harris took to the stage, former President Barack Obama gave a speech warning voters about the dangers that the country will face if former President Donald Trump wins in November. While Harris supporters were enjoying the evening, many on social media were quick to point out the number of people leaving the rally after being treated to a free concert and listening to their favourite celebrities hype up Harris. Gunter Eagleman posted on X, "Watch, the people at Kamala's rally were only there for the celebrities. The star-studded lineup had a crowd, and as soon as Kamala took the stage, they flooded out of the stadium. No one actually listened to her." It's not an insignificant number of people who have left the stadium as Harris is speaking, wrote Reuters reporter Jarrett Renshaw. Jacob Harvey posted, "Bruce Springsteen filled the place up and people lining up to leave as soon as Kamala Harris starts talking. Meanwhile, Trump holds two separate rallies in Las Vegas today and filled the arena both times. No free concert needed." The Gateway Pundit also commented on the incident. "The best part was watching people leave the arena in droves as Kamala Harris shouted, 'It's time to turn the page,'" the outlet wrote. Harris has often been criticised for having A-listers at her rallies as a way to increase the size of her crowds. Since the start of her campaign, many social media users have pointed out the crowds begin to leave after the free entertainment is over. Trump has consistently mocked Harris for her inability to retain rallygoers, suggesting that she needs to invite big names and bus in voters to match the crowd sizes at his events. To try and combat the negative press, the Harris campaign's official X account often posts videos and photos of Trump rallies being empty, resulting in backlash from Trump supporters who then usually share videos showing sold-out arenas. Harris is set to campaign in Texas on Friday, just under 2 weeks before Election Day. In what many call a last-minute push, Beyoncé, who is expected to perform, will join her on stage. However, sorry to say that Beyoncé did not perform. All she did was a two-minute endorsement of Kamala. So it was another hyped-up announcement attempting to garner a huge crowd, and then it was a huge disappointment again. And people were saying, well, it's just like her campaign, you know, she promises big things and then she never delivers. And if you remember, the same thing happened at the DNC, where they made this big thing about Beyoncé was going to perform, and then she denied, Beyoncé denied, that she'd ever been listed to perform. So that was a fiasco as well. Alex Bruzovitz on X posted, Kamala Harris is facing major backlash right now from people who showed up in Houston last night for a Beyoncé concert. Beyoncé played zero songs and only spoke for 4 minutes. Attendees are furious. Why does Kamala lie about everything? So it's really backfired on her. It's hilarious. Everything does, doesn't it? And it doesn't get any better because Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, slapped me in the face so hard I spun around. I'm disgusted by his fake perfect spouse persona. This is a report by the Mail Online. It's been in various publications about the accusation that Doug Emhoff actually assaulted his girlfriend of the time. Doug Emhoff's ex-girlfriend has spoken exclusively to DailyMail.com, claiming that he slapped her in the face so hard she spun around at a 2012 celebrity event in France. This was published 2 days ago on the 24th. The woman, a successful New York attorney, is remaining anonymous but decided to speak out after Emhoff, Kamala Harris's husband, denied the claims through a spokesman. Emhoff's accuser, who DailyMail.com is naming only as Jane, initially declined to comment on the record, but Emhoff's denial and his alleged hypocrisy by claiming to be a feminist in media interviews finally became too much for her. What's frightening for a woman that's been on the other end of it is watching this completely fabricated persona being portrayed, Jane said. He's being held out to be the antithesis of who he actually is, and that is utterly shocking. DailyMail.com broke the story about the alleged unprovoked attack on October 2nd by reporting accounts from two friends she told immediately after the incident, a third she told in 2018, and documents evidencing her relationship and trip to France with Emhoff. The bombshell allegations, which followed DailyMail.com's revelation in August that Emhoff cheated on his first wife with his daughter's nanny, Nyan Naylor, received little or no coverage from politically centre-left major news outlets. Emhoff admitted the affair in a statement in August, but his spokesman gave only a short denial of the alleged violence to a politics news site a day after we exclusively reported the slap allegation. In a statement to Semaphore published October 3rd, a spokesperson said this report is untrue and that any suggestion that he would or has ever hit a woman is false. Emhoff, the Harris campaign and the White House have failed to respond to DailyMail.com and other outlets' repeated requests for comments. There's a lot more in that story, but I want to move on to my next report, which just shows all the desperation in the Harris and Walz camp, because this is where they're putting out all these smears against Trump just to try and put voters off, but of course it's not working. This is Gateway Pundit again reporting on Thursday, Guardian hit piece alleging Trump-groped model rapidly debunked on social media. A Guardian hit piece alleging that former President Donald Trump groped a model at Trump Tower 31 years ago was debunked on social media shortly after it was released. The former model, Stacey Williams, alleged, late winter of 1993, I was on a walk with Jeffrey Epstein from his brownstone on the Upper East Side down Fifth Avenue, when Jeffrey looked at me and said, you know, let's go stop by and see Trump. Williams claimed that Trump groped her breasts and buttocks. Moments after they arrived, she alleges, Trump greeted Williams, pulled her toward him, and started groping her. She said he put his hands all over my breasts as well as her waist and her buttocks. She said she froze because she was deeply confused about what was happening. At the same time, she said, she believed she saw the two men smiling at each other, the Guardian reported. Incidentally, this story was offered to the US media outlets and they all turned it down. OK, continuing on. However, social media users quickly pointed out that Jeffrey Epstein moved into the Wexler Mansion in New York City in 1996, 3 years after Williams claimed to be at that location. And Greg Price posts on X, the liar in this story claims that she went on a walk with Epstein in 1993 by his Upper East Side home when he took her to see Trump. There's only one problem, which is that Epstein didn't move there until 1996. And it shows a clip from, I think, Wikipedia showing that date in the details. Robbie Starbuck posts, she claims she went from Jeffrey Epstein's brownstone on the Upper East Side to go see Trump in 1993, but Epstein didn't own his brownstone until 1996. The woman is a liar. How does anyone believe this garbage? She kept this quiet until weeks before Election Day. Laughable. As the Gateway pundit previously reported, Williams was a pro-Obama activist. Trump's press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said that the allegations in this latest smear campaign are unequivocally false. These accusations made by a former activist for Barack Obama and announced on a Harris campaign call 2 weeks before the election are unequivocally false. It's obvious this fake story was contrived by the Harris campaign, Caroline Leavitt told The Guardian. And of course, The Guardian is a left-wing rag, so they would love to support Kamala Harris by publishing this smear. And it's interesting that people have remarked on the fact that she says she was Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend at the time. Well, it's not exactly something to be proud about, to be associated with Epstein. And also, I just wanted to mention that it's so interesting that all these endorsements from celebrities are linked to the Diddy case, the Sean Combs case, where he's accused of sex trafficking and probably much worse things. And also the Epstein list, and they're panicking because when Trump is re-elected, it's very likely he's going to release the Epstein list, because that's certainly what Elon Musk is pushing for. Another blow for Kamala Harris is Representative Corey Mills demands Biden-Harris Gestapo DOJ investigate Kamala Harris for potential criminal misconduct, accuses Kamala of using official authority to interfere with 2024 election. This is Gateway Pundit again and published on Thursday. Representative Corey Mills, Republican Florida, has formally requested the Biden-Harris Gestapo Department of Justice to investigate Kamala Harris for potential criminal misconduct following a highly politicized press conference. Mills is pointing to federal laws that prohibit any federal officer or employee from using their official authority to interfere with or influence an election, a line Harris crossed when she used the office of the vice president to launch vicious attacks against Donald Trump. On Wednesday, just 13 days before Election Day, Harris delivered a desperate 3-minute unhinged tirade against Trump, invoking debunked smears and inflammatory rhetoric at the official residence of the vice president, located at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., flanked by the official seal of the vice president. Harris wasted no time in seizing on the outrageous claim, stating that Trump wanted a military that was loyal to him personally, and suggesting that he would use the military to target American citizens who opposed him. Harris went as far as to accuse Trump of comparing himself to Hitler. We know what Donald Trump wants. He wants unchecked power. The question in 13 days will be, what do the American people want? Kamala said. In response, Representative Mills sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland urging an immediate investigation into whether Harris violated federal law by using her official position to attack a political opponent. Mill pointed out that while the Hatch Act, which prohibits the use of official resources for campaign purposes, does not apply in civil cases to the president and vice president, criminal provisions still stand. While Harris may be exempt from the Hatch Act, there could still be ethical concerns related to the misuse of her official position. Of course, as is very predictable, Hillary Clinton had to weigh in on this. Hillary Clinton says Trump is going to Madison Square Garden to reenact the 1939 Nazi rally. Trump is holding a rally at the New York City venue on Sunday. Hillary Clinton has made an extraordinary claim. Donald Trump is holding a rally at Madison Square Garden to reenact a Nazi event at the same venue 85 years ago. Trump's 2016 Democratic rival is still out railing against him and warning Americans against giving him another term with just 12 days left until Election Day. The former Secretary of State said Trump is seeking to reenact the Nazi rally that took place in the New York City venue just over 6 months before the start of World War II. She was agreeing with former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly's classification of Trump as a fascist and urged voters to open their eyes and stop Trump from winning. The term fits, she told CNN host Caitlin Collins on Thursday. Trump is holding a rally at Madison Square Garden on Sunday, just 9 days before the 2024 presidential election. As we're now on the subject of Trump, let's have a look at his record this week. This is Gateway Pundit, and this is just an epic troll by Trump. Triggered, Democrats suffer epic meltdowns over President Trump trolling Kamala Harris by working at McDonald's and also spread a stupid conspiracy theory in the process. This is on the 21st. Democrats are not taking President Trump working at a Pennsylvania McDonald's well and are resorting to an inane conspiracy theory to cope. As the Gateway Pundit reported, Trump visited his favourite restaurant to work a shift as a fast food employee before delivering remarks at a town hall event in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. He ended up working a half hour at the restaurant before delivering remarks at a town hall event in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This was a half hour longer than Harris ever worked at McDonald's. As TGP readers know, she has lied to the American people by claiming that she worked the fries while in high school at the eatery in a desperate attempt to sell herself as a commoner. Thousands of God-fearing Americans took time out of their schedule, even giving up tickets to see the Philadelphia Eagles play, to witness this historic moment. And there are several shots from ex-posts. This one is by Clandestine. Trump is working a shift at McDonald's right now for no reason other than to troll Kamala for lying. That's it. Say what you want about him, but the man is objectively hilarious. Stung leftists seethed over Trump's genius move, which further cemented himself as the man of the American people. The struggle was real on MSNBC as one liberal guest on MSNBC pitched a fit and claimed Trump was mentally ill. There's no logic to it. It's a stunt. He, as you know, appears to be not well, and he's engaged in some really bizarre types of activities during this campaign, the pro-Harris guest whimpered. So this is just another one of those stunts that he will continue on through the campaign, she added. And I think that we need to really focus on making sure that he is not elected, of course, because he is a threat to our democracy. Democrats followed suit on social media by flipping out over Trump's savage troll. Many also invented a dumb conspiracy theory claiming that the fast food restaurant was not open and that the workers were not real. Ron Filipowski said, "So the place wasn't even open. It was all staged and fake. He didn't work for real at a McDonald's. It was a staged fraud, just like every other event." And veteran anti-war? "The staff at McDonald's working alongside Trump are all Secret Service agents. The restaurant was closed for the day, creating an air of secrecy. Don't get fooled. The rich president won't serve for ordinary people. You will never buy the Trump's McDonald's." Palmer report said the real proof of Donald Trump's dementia is that he let his handlers do this to him today without pushing back about what a humiliating idea it was. Really desperate, aren't they? On top of that, RTM reports that McDonald's says they have no record of Harris ever working for company as liberals whine over Trump's staged work shift. McDonald's Corporation has officially addressed Vice President Kamala Harris's long-standing claim of working at one of their restaurants during her college years, revealing they cannot verify her employment history from the 1980s. The fast food giant distributed an internal memo to its USA franchisees, acknowledging that while Harris maintains fond memories of working at an Alameda County location, neither the corporation nor its franchisees possess employment records from that era. So her lies have been exposed again. Daily Mail reported that the Wall Street Journal confirmed the authenticity of this internal communication after it was initially leaked on social media by an anonymous franchise owner. The controversy stems from Harris's public statements, including a 2019 rally with fast food workers and a recent April 2024 appearance on the Drew Barrymore show, where she specifically claimed she did fries at McDonald's. Her campaign has specified that she worked at the Central Avenue location in Alameda, California, during the summer of 1983, following her freshman year at Howard University. However, attempts to substantiate this claim have hit roadblocks. Daily Mail highlighted that the campaign has been unable to produce any tangible evidence, such as photographs, pay stubs, or corroborating testimony from former co-workers. And then Trump nailed the week by being on the Joe Rogan show yesterday, last night, US time. This is from Second Smartest Guy in the World Substack. Trump on Rogan. Imagine telling someone 15 years ago that the host of Fear Factor and the host of The Apprentice talking to each other on a podcast would be the most important political event of 2024. Joe Rogan was a particularly exceptional host on yesterday's epic podcast with Trump. This was one of the most candid, insightful and honest interviews with the former and soon-to-be next president, election steals, false flags and assassinations notwithstanding. Before we get to the full interview, here are some of the more germane YouTube comments. The silent majority has been enthusiastically commenting. This is the most positive comment section I've ever seen in politics. Harris has already melted and malfunctioned in cackles and mendacious mental glitches during her various disastrous Mockingbird layup interviews, which is why she would dare not go on a show like Rogan's, not that she is a legitimate presidential candidate. A full 3 hours, this is a comment, this should be required of presidential candidates. The world wants Trump to win. Another comment. Watching from Northern Ireland, 4 more years. Good luck, America, from Japan. YouTube disabled viewers from seeing the downvotes for their videos since leftist consent and scamdemic propaganda was getting ratioed hard. But there is a browser extension that overrides this lack of transparency. And so the likes, 789,000, versus dislikes, 16,000, more than likely reflect what kind of a Trumpian landslide win can be expected. Readers of this Substack appreciate that federal income taxes are illegal and unconstitutional color of law social engineering, which is why the following exchange is particularly encouraging. Joe Rogan, did you just float out the idea of getting rid of income taxes and replacing it with tariffs? Were you serious about that? Donald Trump, sure, why not? If income taxation were abolished as it should be, then just the surge in disposable income would transform the American economy overnight into beyond MAGA +++ and would concurrently shrink by over 80% the entire illegitimate federal government waging its war against we the people from the foreign nation of Washington, D.C. In fact, it is inconceivable that the founding fathers would have even considered that Americans would ever pay a cent to a foreign nation or to a federal government whose only legitimate responsibilities are to protect the borders and uphold the Bill of Rights. The irony is especially tremendous given that today's federal government has completely subverted its true functions and is operating in a complete reality inversion mode. The pervasive infestation of communism, Democrats. They, Democrats, hate our country, they're stupid, or they want to buy votes. It's one of those three. I think that was Joe Rogan that said that. Actually, it's not one of those three, but all of those three. No one is perfect, to say the least, but the following sentiment is growing. And Viva Frey posted on X, Donald Trump is a legend and a hero. And if you don't understand that, you are an idiot. Rabidly deranged Democrats claim Trump was never shot. Once they shot you, I was like, he's got to come in here. That was Joe Rogan. While the topics of Operation Warp Speed and the slow-kill bioweapon vaccines were largely avoided, and for good reason, here is an especially interesting exchange that does not dare call out the eugenicists committing democide on behalf of their intelligence industrial complex masters, but intimates at the iatrogenic evil we are up against. Rogan, do you have anyone that is pressuring you to not work with him, RFK Jr.? Trump, I would say that Big Pharma wasn't thrilled. Let us not harp too much on the beautiful death facts for now and wait until after Trump gets into the White House again in order to hold him to account. But suffice to say, there truly is only one vote that any rational person that does not hate themselves and their country can make this year. In fact, in the history of this constitutional republic, not democracy, the choice has never been clearer on who to vote for in 2024. The Vigilant Fox actually did a breakdown of the key points. Jaw-dropping Rogan-Trump interview crushes Kamala Harris campaign. The full three-hour talk summarized in less than 10 minutes. Donald Trump just accomplished what Kamala Harris never could, take unscripted questions from Joe Rogan and answer them directly and clearly. The conversation started with a bang as Rogan shed light on shocking footage from Trump's 2015 appearance on The View. You won't believe how well the cast treated him, as Barbara Walters refers to Trump as a friend. Joe Rogan, watch this. This is literally bonkers. Barbara Walters, please welcome my friend Donald Trump. Joe Rogan, watch this, just watch this. This is nuts. We're in an alternative universe, okay? Because this is not that long ago. Minutes later, in a moment of self-reflection, Trump told Rogan that his biggest mistake in his first term was appointing some bad people to his administration. This includes National Security Advisor John Bolton and White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. Trump revealed that the presidency involves around 10,000 federal appointments, including 100 major ones. Now that Trump has seen the swamp with his own eyes and familiarized himself with Washington, he has much higher confidence that his future picks would better serve the American people. Rogan, who has not historically been a Trump fan, started dishing out compliments to the former president, telling him that the reason why he's so popular is because he's genuine and doesn't speak in bullshit, pre-prepared politician lingo. Rogan pointed to the glorious moment when Trump told Hillary Clinton to her face, "You'd be in jail." He explained, "One of the beautiful things about you is that you freeball. Like, you get out and you do these huge events and you're just talking. We've highlighted you on the show many times when you did this Biden impression where he's walking around, doesn't know what he's doing. It's funny, it's stand-up, it's funny stuff. and you were making fun of Elon one time. You were doing an Elon impression. It's great. You have comedic instincts, like when you said to Hillary you'd be in jail. It's great timing, but it's like that kind of stuff was unheard of as a politician. Like no one had done that. Elon Musk then entered the conversation, as Trump marvelled at his brilliant mind, saying that he's the greatest guy and is so smart that he must be from a different planet. Trump was stunned the moment Musk's Starship rocket defied all odds, landing precisely on its designated pad after a groundbreaking test flight. Trump was on the phone with an important guy when he watched it happen and asked, "Who else can do that?" "Nobody," he replied. "Russia can't do it. The United States, nobody can do it." The conversation took a serious turn when Joe Rogan pointed out that a lot of weirdness happened in the 2020 election, particularly with mail-in ballots. He appropriately mentioned that before 2020, it was common to question the election results because no one thinks election fraud is 0%, Rogan said. "I've never met one person, not a super liberal progressive far-left person or a right-wing conservative, not one person thinks it's 0%," Rogan said. Responding to Kamala Harris comparing Trump to Hitler, he blasted the vice president, calling her a very low IQ person. Trump held so much confidence in Kamala's lack of intelligence that he challenged her to prove otherwise by taking an IQ test, pointing out that she completely fell apart during her softball interview with Anderson Cooper. "She took 2 days off and she studied and studied all day long, and then she comes out with a result. That was a real embarrassment," Trump bashed. Rogan dropped a viral take when he declared that Republicans are now punk rock and the rebels of society. "You want to be punk rock? You want to buck the system?" Rogan asked. "You are conservative now," he confidently stated. "The liberals are now pro-silencing criticism. They are pro-censorship. They talk about regulating free speech. It's bananas to watch," Rogan lamented. Trump didn't hesitate to announce that he is completely committed to having Robert Kennedy Jr. in his administration. He even came prepared with a chart that shows America's life expectancy is dropping, while other countries don't have the same problem. Trump revealed that his only concern about Kennedy is his environmental views. "The only thing I want to be a little careful about with him is the environmental stuff, because he doesn't like oil. I love oil and gas," Trump said with a smile. "Just keep him out of that," Rogan replied. "There's plenty of good work that could be done if you focus on health." Going further, Trump outed Big Pharma and revealed that they were not thrilled when they heard RFK Jr. would be joining the Trump administration. This moment came when Rogan asked Trump, "Do you have anyone that is pressuring you not to work with him?" To which Trump replied with a clear yes. "That life expectancy chart is a terrible chart. It's such a bad chart when you look at where we are compared to other countries that don't spend 10 cents per dollar. We do. But yeah, I've had some people that aren't exactly thrilled," Trump said. Some viewers were left stunned as Rogan agreed with Trump that there were at least two undeniable instances of election interference in 2020. The first one was the Russian collusion hoax, where it was purported that Trump was a Russian asset. The major instance of election interference was the Hunter Biden laptop story. Twitter 1.0 removed links to the story, while 51 former intelligence agents dismissed it as Russian disinformation. And the only reason why they got away with this lie was because they continually labelled you as this horrible threat to democracy and Hitler, Rogan said. They kept saying you were going to be a dictator, ignoring the fact that you weren't a dictator for the 4 years when you were actually the president. The most hilarious moment of the night dropped when Trump candidly asked Rogan, "Can you imagine Kamala doing this show?" Rogan replied, "I could imagine her doing this show," but Trump pushed back, insisting that if Kamala dared to engage in an unscripted 3-hour conversation, she'd be lying on the floor unconscious, needing a medic. Democrats suffered a devastating blow when Rogan concluded that the only thing that makes sense for why Dem politicians would oppose voter ID is because they want to cheat. A shocking new Gallup poll recently showed that 84% of Americans support requiring photo ID to vote. This includes 67% of Democrats who support the measure. Meanwhile, Dem politicians strongly oppose voter IDs, which tells you that they care more about cheating than secure elections. Trump broadcasted a major move announcing that the JFK files would be released almost immediately when he takes office. Rogan probed Trump about why he never opened them up during his first term, and Trump responded that certain people asked him not to do it. I can't tell you whether or not they're going to find anything of interest, but I was asked not to do it, and I thought that was a reasonable ask, but now I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it very soon, Trump said. The conversation took an interesting turn when Rogan asked Trump if he believes aliens exist, to which Trump replied, "There's no reason not to." Trump told Rogan, "I interviewed jet pilots that were solid people, and they said, we saw things that were very strange, like a round ball, but it wasn't a comet or a meteor, it was something else, and it was going four times faster than an F-22, which is a very fast plane." In the final moments, Trump asked, "How long have we been talking?" Rogan's producer, Jamie, revealed it had been a whopping 3 hours. With a speech looming, Trump told Rogan, "It's been an honor," calling him a fascinating guy and promising, "We'll do it again. I'm going to make a great speech and I'm going to say, if I'm a little off tonight, I'm going to blame you," Trump quipped. With a big smile, he said with astonishment, "I spoke to this guy for 3 hours." And if you want to watch the whole thing, it's available on Joe Rogan's YouTube page. I don't have very much time left, but I just want to go into some headlines about what I said in the title, Labour at War with Patriots and Trump. And I mean Patriots in the UK, but I'm going to leave that. I want to cover what's going on with Trump first, and then I'll slip something in at the end about what's going on in the UK. Trump campaign files FEC complaint over influx of Labour staffers volunteering for Kamala Harris. The surge in nearly 100 overseas volunteers are helping the Harris-Walz campaign in critical swing states, including Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Labour officials insist the volunteers are paying their own way to the United States and are staying at the homes of Democratic activists. Former President Donald Trump's presidential campaign on Tuesday filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission on the influx of Labour Party staffers from the United Kingdom volunteering for Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign. The Trump campaign claimed in the filing that the Labour operation amounted to foreign interference in the presidential election, arguing that a LinkedIn post seeking more volunteers to travel to the US was evidence that the foreign party was paying volunteers to travel to the US. "Those searching for foreign interference in our elections need to look no further than Ms. Sophia Patel's LinkedIn post. The interference is occurring in plain sight," Trump campaign lawyer Gary Lukowski wrote. "To protect our democracy from illegal foreign influence, it is imperative that the Federal Election Commission open an MUR, find reason to believe, and investigate this matter immediately." The filing also noted that reports from the Telegraph indicated that the Harris campaign was advised on how to conduct a winning campaign by the foreign party. On a similar topic, this is from the Disinformation Chronicle, "Trump camp, British censorship group to be investigated from all angles. Britain's Centre for Countering Digital Hate will be at the top of the list of Trump investigatory targets," sources say after Disinformation Chronicle / Racket story. The Center for Countering Digital Hate will be investigated from all angles, a source from the campaign of Donald Trump says, in response to documents obtained by the Disinformation Chronicle in conjunction with Racket showing Kill Musk's Twitter as the top annual priority on CCDH's monthly agenda notes for 2024. The Trump campaign is furious that a group tied to Prime Minister Keir Starmer's new government is targeting its political allies, while parent organisation Labour Together openly advises Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Such blatant foreign influence frustrates Trump operatives, since they faced years of relentless and ultimately fruitless probes over allegations of similar foreign assistance. Everything is going to be investigated, a Trump camp spokesman said. This will be at the top of the list. And Musk wasn't happy either. This is war. Musk responds to bombshell kill Twitter plot involving UK advisers to a Kamala Harris. Elon Musk has responded to a bombshell report by journalists Paul Thacker and Matt Taibbi, which reveals that the UK's Centre for Countering Digital Hate, which is advising the Kamala Harris campaign, aims to kill Musk's Twitter. The British are coming to meddle in our elections. This report is from Zero Hedge. I don't have time to report any more on that because I just want to make a couple of comments about what's going on in the UK now. And the key news that has come out in the last couple of days is that Tommy Robinson, who is a journalist and activist, has been arrested yesterday, right the day before his organised rally, Uniting the Kingdom, which actually had probably 250,000 attendees in London today, so the reports say, who's being held on charges of terrorism for refusing to give the PIN code for his mobile phone because it contains information about people who were reporting on being victims of these grooming gangs, which is what he's been focused on exposing. So it's another case of Keir Starmer's two-tier justice, when many of these rapists and even murderers have been allowed, in some cases, to go free, while people who posted mean tweets or objected to the way the police were treating them in peaceful protests have been thrown in jail. And the very sad story is about 61-year-old Peter Lynch, who was jailed for 2 years, 8 months for shouting at the police that they were protecting rapists and murderers. He committed suicide in prison. So everybody is blaming Keir Starmer for being the cause of this man's death. So the rally was held today. There were multiple posts on X showing thousands of people gathered peacefully shouting, "We want our country back." And also they held a minute's silence in tribute to Peter Lynch, who was clearly a political prisoner. So this Labour government is not only at war with Trump's campaign, they're also at war with their own people. And Starmer is no favourite of Trump because he's actually called him out for what he's doing to the country. So hopefully when Trump's elected, he'll be removing these globalists, these traitors to Britain, and as well as similar characters across the world. That's what I'm praying for. So that's all I have time for this week, other than to mention my manifestation assessment that you can find on the menu at my website, thesuccessalchemist.net. And it's a diagnostic tool to show what it is that's holding you back from being successful at manifestation. It's a very sophisticated questionnaire, and it comes with a session with me where I go through the results with you to highlight the areas that you need to work on in order to become a consistently successful manifester. And it's free. So give it a try. What have you got to lose? So that's all I have time for, as I say. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's going to be exciting to see what else rolls out before this election. And we're all sitting on the edge of our seats. So thank you to Nancy for producing. And until next time, stay well. Be safe. If you're in the US, vote for Trump. And bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.